All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? Gonna make this one quick tonight. Rockets fall 134-104 to the Spurs. Not a good night for the Rockets, let's just be real. But Mike, you probably have a little bit more animated of a reaction to this game, so I'll give you the mic for this one.
No, I mean, what did they talk about over the past 3 days? It's been, what, three full days since we've played, correct?
Yeah, they had three off days.
What in the world did they do at those practices? Those
clearly not enough. Clearly not enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm so disgusted by this performance that I'm not even angry. You know what? Does that make sense? Like, what is there to talk about? They came out and got embarrassed by a crappy Spurs team on their own home floor. I mean, Tillman Fertitta should give whoever went to this game their money back. That's how bad they looked tonight. They were never in this game.
They were flat-footed. They were flat-footed all game. And it just, you know, when they had a lead, I think it was like a three-point lead with like 2 minutes to go in that first quarter, and they gave that huge run at the end of the first quarter and never really recovered from that. And it was just like the whole game, just they just looked flat. Like there was no – they just – and you know what? Sometimes that happens when you do have so much time off. You know, sometimes it's either a good thing when you are well rested, and sometimes you forget the rhythm that you were in. And the 3 days off totally broke their rhythm from what they had on the road for those five games.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you don't even play. Silas looked lost tonight. I got to tell you this, man. I am really hoping that something physically is wrong with Jalen Green. Like, I hope if that makes – I don't know if that sounds good, but I'm almost
praying for an
injury.
I get what you're saying. You hope that, like, what's going on with him is something that he can't control.
He just looks bad. Like it's time to face this head on. He was 3 of 16 tonight, 1 of 8 from the three-point line.
Coming off of an 0-11.
Yeah, like – is he – the athleticism is there. You know, he had that nice dunk in the fourth quarter, so maybe it's not an injury, and maybe he just sucks right now.
Well, look at the shots that he was taking, right?
Yeah.
Look at the shots he was taking. It wasn't like every shot he was taking was a poor shot.
Sure.
They just
They're
aren't
just not going.
They aren't going in. And and that could just be the basketball guys just are angry at Jalen Green for whatever reason. Maybe, you know what honestly it is, Mike? The basketball gods probably live in Detroit and they don't like that he said that he didn't want to live there. That's a logical explanation.
That's fair.
But the thing is, I feel like there is no logical explanation for it. You know, sometimes shooters just go through bad stretches of time. That's what we talked about on the last episode against the Warriors, where, you know, that is just sometimes how it goes, and you got to shoot out of it. So I'm glad that he was taking those shots tonight. And I mean, that first shot went in, but it really wasn't much after that. Yeah. It was the shot, the first three of the game, the dunk, and he had one more stuck in the middle there. But it's just, you know, it'll come around for him. I think he's too good to just like fizzle out. And look, he's only 33 games into the league. And that's ultimately why I really don't have much to say about this game. This isn't one of those games to me where it's like, oh my God, you know, like wake up call, we're bad. Because, you know, this is...
Well, they are bad.
Yeah, I mean, like we knew that already. And this isn't like something that's like, oh my God, like, you know, this isn't really like a wake-up call game. It's just, you know, because we saw what happened last week against Utah, against Golden State, and that energy that was on the road is something that they didn't have tonight. And I think part of that maybe was because they came into this game a little bit cocky. Maybe they were like, oh, like we played so well on the road. We're going to come in, take care of business against the Spurs team that we also beat on the road just 2 weeks ago. And the Spurs came in ready for blood.
Yeah, they did. And my biggest problem is always effort with this team, because you saw it tonight. They didn't care on either end of the court. They didn't put forth the effort needed in order to compete. I think one thing, though, I know Jalen Green got 16 shots, but watching this game from beginning to end, which if you did, I mean, props to you, they don't create enough plays for Jalen Green, in my opinion. They don't have enough offensive sets where they get him.
There's not a whole lot of creativity in the shots that they create.
That's
for
the
him.
Problem.
It's more so of the, okay, let's, you know, run him off of a screen or two in here and have him pull up from this spot. I feel like Jalen is just
that's a problem.
Not getting enough of the shots that like he is comfortable with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so it's they can create those plays for a guy like Garrison Matthews. You see it multiple times. Christian Wood is good enough to create his own shot. I'll tell you this, man. I think a guy like Josh Christopher gets more of his own shots than I thought he would be at this point in his career. Jalen Green's not there. That's a major problem, Jeremy, is not necessarily the fact that they're not going in. It's the fact that he's not being assertive enough, not demanding. I think there's a difference between demanding the ball and being assertive on the court. He's not nearly assertive enough. And I think they've got to figure that out most importantly. That's the most important thing for the rest of the year. I don't think there's a more
important thing. I just think that he's in his head because it's like, you know, after you have one game, like, let me look at his last like four or five games. Okay.
It's been terrible.
Yeah. It's not good. But coming off of that Kings game, the second Kings game, the win, he had 15 points on 6 of 10 shooting. But since then, against the Jazz, 3 of 13. Against the Warriors, 0 for 11. And against the Spurs, 3 of 14. So in his last three games, he is 6 for 38.
It's not good.
Not good. But, like here's my thing, though, right? You scroll back to, like, a year, like, a month ago, right? And I can pull up, you know, when he was against... Okay, so like here, you see against Washington, 8 of 17, Dallas, 4 of 8. Then he has an off game against Minnesota, 3 of 10. But then against Philly, 6 of 12. So that's like three games, you know, that were this month, Mike, in January. He was shooting above, he shot above 50% in 3 out of 4 games. So it's just like, and yeah, we're talking about a 4-game stretch here. Or a 3-game stretch where he's just been really bad. That could totally change in the next game. It really ultimately is a matter of, you know, will the shots just finally go in? And I think that's kind of what the Rockets think with him. I think that because they are still drawing up the same amount of plays for him and he's still getting up double-digit shots on a nightly basis, and he is shooting the most on the team, which I think is important. As the starting two guard on the team, you tend to get most of the shots. So I don't think that that's the issue with Jay. I think the Rockets are not panicking, which is important. And I think because they, even though it's been bad, I don't think there has been enough to really push the panic button here.
Well, no, especially after the road trip that they just got done with.
Yeah.
You know, it was really disappointing. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed, you know, in the way they look tonight.
It's disappointing because we know they could have played a lot better tonight than they did.
Exactly. You know, if you got beat like this by Golden State, if you got beat like this by Philadelphia, that's a lot different than San Antonio, you know, to me, is you let guys like Drew Eubanks come in here and just wipe the floor with you. You know, your guy, Doug McDermott, I know how big of a fan you are of him, so respect to
big Doug McBucket.
Yeah. I mean,
in college, but yeah,
for sure. But tonight, you know, I get Jalen Green is still getting his shots up, and that's important to note. I would just like to see more creativity because he's taking mostly good shots, but get him easier shots. You know.
Tonight,
they're not even run a pick and roll with Jalen Green. You know, get him the ball at the top of the key, but they don't do that because they have Kevin Porter Jr. or they have Christian Wood I want to see more direction with Jalen Green being the true focal point with the ball in his hands.
Yeah. Because
I think that's what will get him out of this funk that he's in. And there's a massive date looming in about 13 days, and that's the NBA trade deadline. This team is going to look so much differently, in my opinion, in about 3 weeks. So I think that's something to note here, that tonight sucked. I think much better times are on the horizon.
I'll say this, though, when it comes to Jalen, that's the last we'll talk about tonight's game, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the deadline. But
sure.
I think when it comes to Jalen, ever before the NBA, when he was in high school, AAU, even the G League, he was around the same size as his opponent for the most part. Mm-hmm. And because of his athleticism against these same-sized opponents, he was able to get what he wanted. He was able to get the bucket. He was able to drive. He was able to shoot. He was able to use his driving ability to really dictate his whole game. And because he is very skinny in NBA standards and he's only 19, he's going to the rim against much bigger defenders who all they have to do is really just put their hands up and just go straight up, and they contest the shot and it doesn't go in. And Jalen doesn't get those calls yet because he is a rookie and he is a very skinny guy. And I think once he puts on that weight and he becomes more of a dominant force, then I think he's going to start getting those calls, and then he can start really, you know, painting a picture on his game. And that's going to take time. And, you know, I've read some Kobe, like, you know, comparisons. I'm not saying Jalen Green's Kobe, but Kobe struggled right coming out in the league because of the exact same reason. And obviously, yeah, Kobe was in a much different situation than Jalen is. But, you know, going directly from, you know, the G League to the NBA is not just, you know, as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, and he's also
– it's a timing thing.
Yeah, he's listed at 6'4", 186. In my eyes, he needs to be about 6'4", 200 pounds. 200 to 205.
Oh, yeah, 215 to 220.
Yeah, anything north of two, I'd say 225 is probably the most I would like.
Put some muscle on him. Muscle up on him.
Exactly.
Guys.
Exactly. But I think like 6'4", like 210 is right where I think he should be. And that's the muscle. And he's got so much room. And if he continues to improve as a shooter, like the skill is there. I'm not doubting the skill. But I will say this, that on the whole, I have been disappointed with his performance thus far this year.
Right.
It's possible to say, like so many people on Rockets Twitter, I feel like, get so angry if you're, you know, criticizing a guy. You know, it is possible to criticize a guy, but also be one of their biggest fans. But like, I love Jalen Green. Right, I'm such a big fan of his. Yeah.
At the same time, Mike,
he's been disappointed.
Yeah, but like, not like reading something, it comes across very, it doesn't, like, when you say it and you hear the complexion in someone's voice, it is a lot, you know, there is a lot more context there.
Sure.
Like you're just typing out, oh, Jalen, you know, sucks, or Jalen is having a bad night, and when you're restricted to, you know, a certain number of characters, you know, you're not able to get off everything you want to say. So it's, you know, tweets can be very misleading in that. But if you understand that, you know, tweets are only, you know, only so much of a person, then yeah. But like that's why it's easier to get my thoughts at least off in a podcast, because I'm able to say something with a little bit more context and people can understand what I'm saying a little bit more versus just words. But
I'm with you.
I mean, it's a real skill to be able to express feelings and like paint a picture with words in a spoken form or in a written form. And not everyone on Twitter is a best-selling author. So that's kind of how it is. So let's move on to this trade deadline, because Kelly Eco, former member of the Dream Shake and friend of the show, friend of the site, he came out with the pretty big list of items about the trade deadline coming up. Mm-hmm. So starting at the top, obviously with Eric Gordon being like the primary player on that, it's that he said that Eric Gordon is getting offers, but the Rockets have not accepted any of them because they feel that they can get more for him. So, Mike, what are your quick thoughts on EG and not being able to get that? And on top of that, they're saying that if they don't get an offer, they are willing to keep Eric Gordon, and they are also willing to keep him past the deadline.
Fairly certain. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that the Rockets highly regard Eric Gordon as a very valuable trade asset. And I don't blame them, dude, because he is a valuable trade asset. If you do not get, for me, the conversation start at a first round pick and a ready now NBA player that fits the Rockets timeline. That's a guy that is sub 20, I would say 26 years old is the maximum kind of guy I want for Eric Gordon. So if you have to throw in a salary filler guy, it better be in addition to the first round pick and a guy that fits this Rockets youth movement that's got some pretty decent upside. So it doesn't shock me at all.
That's a pretty heavy price, and I don't know if the Rockets are going to be able to get a first round pick and a young player and, salary filler, unless that salary filler is that guy if they play both roles. But then again, sure. if you're talking about someone that's 26 that's matching Eric Gordon's salary, which is nearly $20 million a year, and then you're attaching a first round pick to that, then the guy you're probably getting is probably not very good value.
Right. That's why I'm looking at the conversation. The trade that they have to look at is acquiring that young talent first and then working the deal around that guy and seeing, depends on the team that he goes to. You know, I think there's a lot of different teams that Eric Gordon could end up with. Is it a Knicks? Does he go to Denver? Does he go to Phoenix?
I think Phoenix. I love that Phoenix fit.
You know, I think the Phoenix fit makes a lot of sense if you're willing to, a first round pick, Saric, and XYZ player.
And Jalen Smith.
Exactly. See, that's a deal. See, now you're picking up what I'm trying to put
down. My concern.
I do that deal in five seconds.
That's a very possible scenario. I could see the Suns going for that because they are at the point where they're going for the championship, and Eric Gordon could be that one person to help solidify that.
Yep.
But I don't, it's weird now that there's, 10 teams that, make at least the play-in, it really limits teams like the Rockets that are sellers because
Jalen Smith is the perfect guy that I'm talking about. You couldn't build a 6'10 power forward on a team that's not getting a ton of run. He's got 6.5 points, 5.5 rebounds. Literally, Jeremy, you could not give me a better name. You take him. I don't even care if it's Saric. Give me anybody. You get Jalen Smith.
Saric will have to be the salary filler. And Saric is not going to play this season, but I do believe he has I do believe he has a contract for next season. And the Rockets could use him as that stretch four who can, space the floor, shoot the three, and then deal him at the next deadline.
Yeah, and Jalen Smith, 6'10", rim protector. You can move Wood at that point, which I'm sure we'll get into at a later point. Well, Jalen Smith is
is a free agent at the end of the season, and he's an unrestricted free agent.
You're going to sign him as part of the deal. You have to. To me, you don't acquire him and not sign him. I don't know if they
can sign him right now. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry, what I'm saying is your intention is you bring him in to re-sign him, to make him a part of your future. Well, yeah,
and at least if you have him, you have his bird rights. Exactly. But I don't necessarily think – like, I don't know if Jalen Smith's the kind of guy that you are going to be in, like, a major bidding war with other teams. But, like, I just – that to me, if that deal is on the table, the Rockets definitely take that. I don't think there's going to be a deal that is large enough. My thinking is the Rockets are waiting for that kind of deal to come from other teams, and they haven't gotten it yet. And if the Rockets choose to keep Eric Gordon past the deadline, it's because they're not getting that kind of deal. And I do agree with you, Mike, in terms of I think they should they shouldn't just give Eric Gordon away for nothing, and they should get at least a first round pick. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get that young prospect like player as well on top of the salary filler. If you don't get that now, then should you take a deal where it's just first round pick and salary filler?
I don't know. I mean, to me, the answer is very easy. It's no. If you're Rafael Stone and you can't turn your best trade asset, arguably, it's either him or Wood, into what we just described. If you can't convince Phoenix to do that deal, that's a major problem. And we have a bigger discussion to have about Rafael Stone and company. If they can't get a guy that's averaging 6 points and five rebounds, salary filler in your first round pick for a team that's going to contend for a championship and needs a guy like Eric Gordon to go up against the likes of Golden State.
It's a good deal for Phoenix too. Like a
phenomenal deal for
Phoenix. They lose really nobody in their rotation.
Exactly.
And now that they signed Bismack Biyombo, you know, like they have Biyombo, they have Ayton, they have McGee. Jalen Smith is not seeing the floor for the playoffs. I'd be shocked if Jalen Smith didn't get traded. I just don't know if that'll be to the Rockets. I personally hope that that's the deal that the Rockets end up making, just because I think it's worth it in terms of Jalen Smith. You get a couple of weeks to see what he's about. Mm-hmm. I don't know how often they play him, but I do think that they would give him a decent amount of run to give them a decision. Maybe give him like the DJ Wilson minutes from last season, but I would hope that he gets a little bit more than that, because I do think that there is a lot of promise there considering what we saw earlier in the season. But, you know, we'll see. So that's with Eric Gordon. But Christian Wood also is another guy. So what Telly said is that Christian Wood is not likely to get traded, but he is getting interest specifically from the Miami Heat, which I found to be pretty intriguing. Miami right now is currently first place in the East right now, which is crazy because they've done most of that without Bam Adebayo. And I think that their idea is we're going to pair Bam with Seawood in the front court. And I just don't know who they would give in return.
What's the kid's name that they drafted? What the hell's his name? The big guy.
KZ Okpala?
No, that's not who I'm thinking of.
Because that's kind of who is it? Omer Yurtseven?
What's the guy's name? While we're doing this, I'm gonna keep talking. Let me see if I can figure out who I'm trying to talk.
Because the thing is, like, obviously Christian Wood, he only makes, you know, $14 million a year. So it wouldn't like cost too much necessarily to trade him, but I feel like if you can get like a Duncan Robinson out of this.
Oh yeah, I do that deal in about 5.5 seconds.
Because I think Duncan Robinson has struggled I think he struggled this season, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't paid too much attention to the Heat, but I'm looking at his stats. Yeah, he was shooting above 40% last year. This year, he's only at 35%.
Yeah, the guy I'm thinking of, he's like a better version of Garrison
Matthews, though. So, like, as good as Duncan Robinson is, I don't necessarily know if he's worth it.
Well, he's worth it, but here's the question.
He's getting paid $80 million over the next 4 years.
Well, but you start him.
For a slight upgrade of Garrison Matthews, is that really what you want to trade Christian Wood for? Obviously, you get picks as well, but
It's interesting, man, because, yeah, I mean, if you're doing that deal, you got to swing something else, man. But like, here's my question, right? Christian Wood, I feel like, is worth more than a Duncan Robinson. The more I'm thinking about this, I like Duncan Robinson, but I don't like Duncan Robinson for this roster because you already have Jalen Green.
And you have Garrison Matthews, and he's literally a better version of Garrison Matthews, let's be real. And they have Garrison Matthews on such a great deal that it's not worth moving on from him yet.
Right. I gotta think, man. Like, let me ask you this. Where does Christian Wood fit in? Because I actually think he would fit in perfectly with Bam Adebayo. I think that's actually a match made in heaven, if you want my honest opinion. Because Bam's exactly the type of guy Christian Wood needs to play with.
Yeah, I think, look, this is probably what the trade looks like if I'm being, like, truly... If, like, honestly, they're probably offering, like, Duncan Robinson and a first for Wood. That's probably what their offer is. That's not something that I would personally take. I think the Rockets could get better for him in the offseason or something like that. But, I mean, like, the trade works with just straight up Wood for Robinson. I personally would, if I had to go and ask them for another player, Gabe Vincent, the backup point guard, I think he makes a lot of sense as someone who could really set up the offense and is just a nice, exciting young piece. But I don't know if they're willing to trade him. Personally, I don't think the Heat need to do anything at the deadline. They're number one in the East for a reason. Yeah. And maybe, yeah, you get like – I think they are more of a candidate for the buyout market because they, you know, they're a team that's compiled of a lot of veterans. And obviously after a whole lot of – you know, there's going to be a whole lot of – you know, maybe they're honest. Maybe they're looking for Daniel Tice. Maybe it's a Wood. Maybe the deal is like Wood and Tice for, you know, some, I don't know, but
well, let me ask
moving
you.
On, moving on to, you know, moving on to the rest of the team
real quick though. I'll give you a dark horse for Christian Wood. If they want to get funky with their roster is Philadelphia.
Knowing what I know about Philadelphia right now, they are not making a trade at the deadline. And if it is, it's a really small one.
Okay.
Dark horse. That's my guess is that they're keeping Ben Simmons for James Harden sign and trade.
Ooh.
That's the only thing I can think of as to why Ben Simmons is still on Philadelphia's roster, because James Harden is coming in the offseason. And that's the only thing that could maybe justify keeping Ben Simmons on your roster for a whole season when Joel Embiid is playing as well as he is right now. That's like the only thing.
How good is he right now? Holy hell.
Joel Embiid is a top five player in the league right now.
Oh, not even Clay. He's top three.
Top three.
I would say.
I'm not mad at that. But yeah, so the whole thing with Christian Wood, I don't think Christian Wood's getting traded. I think the team should listen to offers for him. I just don't think that there is a good enough offer on the table for me to take on Christian, for me to deal Christian Wood. It has to be at least two firsts to get me to really listen to a Christian Wood offer, at least two firsts. But other than that, we're talking about the veterans on the team, Nwaba, Daniel Tice, and DJ Augustine. They're also getting interest from other teams. DJ Augustine is not getting as much interest compared to the other two guys, but I personally think, Mike, that Daniel Tice out after Eric Gordon is the next likeliest Rocket to get traded, only because they have seen that his fit is extremely difficult with the roster they've gotten, and I think that they want to do right by him, and I think they want to trade him to a contender right now. Just because they really don't see much of a role for him.
No, and unfortunately, he just doesn't have that role with us. I'm curious as to what you can turn him into, because the salary, you're going to get something back. You're not just going to give Daniel Tice away. You've got to get something in return. You know, is it a – can you get him to – does he fit with the Knicks? Does he fit with – I mean, the Knicks are interesting to me for a Daniel Tice.
Personally, here's kind of what I would think, and this is kind of what I would want to see. I know that this is going to be an interesting trade, but I think that the Celtics – I've heard rumblings around the Celtics that they want to move on from Al Horford. And I think they would take on a Daniel Tice to kind – and maybe even a Christian Wood. Maybe
I better be getting more than Al Horford.
Is Wood and Tice for Horford, and let's throw in another guy. I mean
– Robert Williams?
No, they're not trading Robert Williams, but
– what, if I'm giving him Christian Wood and all I'm getting is Al Horford, you better give me something else.
I think
I'd take Grant Williams. I would take Grant Williams or Robert.
Yeah, like a throw in like a Grant Williams. And then you're looking at and then obviously you buy out Horford. But yeah, it's like it'd be a trade that's something like and maybe they trade Bol Bol too. Like or PJ Dozier, some like just who they recently got in that trade, that three team trade with the Nuggets and the Spurs. So if you're saying like I don't know, some combination, but Al Horford being the guy that comes to Houston for the Rockets to buy out, I think that could be a scenario where the Rockets are playing with Boston. Because I know that Daniel Tice is obviously, you know, well regarded in Boston. He was in Chicago last year. Those two, I mean, are just natural ideas based off of what we know as outsiders. But I think with Daniel Tice, any team that's looking for a defensive big should be looking at the Rockets for that. Like the Bucks, I could see the Bucks looking at him as well. There's a lot of potential scenarios where Daniel Tice works out. It's just Houston is just not one of them just because of how the front court is installed with Wood and with Şengün back there. And like I think Daniel Tice would have worked on the Rockets if Şengün wasn't so good so early.
Yeah. He's been good. If we get rid of Tice, you know, I get my dream scenario there. You know how much I like me some Mo Bamba. You know, can you send a Tice to Orlando for Nwaba or for Mo Bamba? Like to me, that makes sense. And then Orlando could then flip. Let me see how I want to phrase this. Instead of the Rockets just trying to get rid of Daniel Tice for whatever, make that Orlando's job now, and you get the young prospect in Mo Bamba. I'm all in on that.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Would you attach a second-round pick to it to get it done?
Well, I don't think the Magic would want that at all. Why? Like, I mean, they're basically like, I don't see how Daniel Tice really helps Orlando. It just like knowing Orlando right now, they're worse than the Rockets at this point.
But you pick up Tice.
In the league. Yeah. Daniel Tice doesn't help them do anything. They're trying to play their young guys. They're trying to give Obama's worth a second contract, which I don't necessarily think he fits in Orlando because they've gone backwards since they've gotten him. But I think with like Orlando, like the thing is there are so many buyers in this deadline because there are more teams that are competing for playoff positioning or to get into the playoffs or to not be part of the 7-10. So the Rockets should be looking at trading with buyers. The Magic are a fellow seller, and I don't see too many seller trades because there's way too many buyers in the market.
If Orlando didn't want to pay Bamba's next contract, they would then have a piece in Tice that they could in turn they pick up a second round pick from the Rockets just in this trade, just as an example.
And then they have Daniel Tice who's just rotting on the bench like he is here.
Well, no, they would. I'm saying it would be a flip. They would get Tice to then flip him to another team and pick up even more draft capital. Is the way I look at it.
They're not getting a three team trade.
Potentially, yeah. You know, the Rockets end up with him. Tice goes to Boston, and Horford ends up going to Orlando for Orlando to cut, and then Orlando picks up another pick from Boston to do that.
Like
something like
that. It's difficult because. The Rockets need to find a way on this trade deadline, and this is a good place to, you know, kind of wrap a bow on this. The Rockets need to play Wood, and they need to play Şengün, and with this deadline, they need to be able to find a way to play two of them together. Whether they get they acquire a guy to play next to Wood, or they put Wood and Şengün in the starting lineup and they get someone from outside to play the backup minutes. Mm-hmm. That's what they need to do with this deadline. That's the situation that they need to figure out because the way that – and this game tonight proved it because, Mike, there were so many layups that were just given to the Spurs. And that's why – and there was no rim protection at all. And Christian Wood is just not that guy to ask for that. And that's fine. But if Christian Wood's not going to do it, you need someone who can. And whether that person is Şengün, whether that person is someone else, it's not Daniel Theiss. That's what we know for sure. But it needs to be somebody. And maybe that's Jalen Smith. Who knows? But the Rockets need to find a way to get rim protection in this deadline. And whether that involves trading for a guy, whether it involves trading Wood, they got to figure it out. I don't think it's going to be trading Wood, but it'll be interesting to see over the next week or so what the Rockets do, 2 weeks, and see how they can fix this front court mess.
Yeah. Real quick, before we wrap up, I think it's an important quote. I don't know if you've seen this yet. Steven Silas, it's a tough position for Şengün because he's playing behind one of our better players in Christian, and I don't feel comfortable at this point playing Christian and LP together. The numbers, the eye test have shown that those two together has not been that great. So that's something that bears mentioning and watching up until February 10th, because I think that is a very telling statement.
If that's the case, maybe that means Christian Wood is on the way out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to make sure we talked about that.
You did, because
before the show ended.
I'm glad you did, because there is a lot to that. And if that's the case, then they really should be listening to those Christian Wood offers and taking one if they feel it is worth the price. But also at the same time, like, I don't want the Rockets to feel like they are in a I don't want the Rockets to feel like they are in a position where they need to trade somebody, right? Like, if they wait to trade Christian Wood after the deadline, they have to trade him at the offseason, because they are not, like, if we're saying this now, then they are not the answer. It's going to be whoever they get in the draft next to Alperen Şengün. And that means that Christian Wood's the odd man out. And maybe they find the deal now where his value is pretty good, but at the same time, we don't know how good his value is at the moment. So with Christian
Wood, it's pretty high, though. I think it's high. I mean, he's a 20 and 10 guy. Or not 20 and 10,
but
he's
look, they got Robert Covington for 2 firsts. They should be able to get Christian Wood for 2 firsts based on that logic. And if they can't get 2 firsts out of Christian Wood, I wouldn't trade him. That's my own price on Christian Wood. If you cannot get 2 firsts for Christian Wood, keep him past the deadline. Let him grow his value in the second half of the season. And then at the offseason, send him to the highest bidder.
You better give me 2 firsts. And I need a player. Because
ideally, yes.
Yeah,
that would either better fit Şengün or someone that can play backup minutes to Şengün and give him a real rim protector.
I'll tell you what I would do. If you could call the Knicks and get what's his name, Mitchell Robinson and 2 firsts.
I think it's too much for them.
I think it's right there, though. I think you can talk that front office into that deal.
The thing is, they just gave a first away to get Cam Reddish.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's going to be difficult for the Knicks to do that. I don't think that they want to trade Mitchell Robinson. Like, it's going to have to be a team.
You're getting a fringe all-star, though. Fringe, not all-star. Fringe all-star in Christian Wood. That's a deal. You don't want to give up Robinson?
I think that would be a weird fit with him and Julius Randle. I think that's a weird fit in New York.
Ooh, yeah, you'd have 2 perimeter guys.
I just don't see that happening. That's why Mitchell Robinson works, though, is because he is the rim protector and he allows Randle to be that creator. So I don't think New York is there. But we'll talk about more of this on our Friday show against the Blazers and, of course, the shows throughout the next week and the week after, leading up to February 10th, the deadline, and the same night as TDS night at Toyota Center. Head to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets, at sbnation.com for more information. We are having all the Dream Shake Houston people and Darren, our managing editor, come to watch the Rockets face the Raptors on Thursday, February 10th. You can get discounted tickets in the lower bowl. They usually sell for about $90. We're selling them for about $45, $50. You get a good discount, a chance to meet some of the Dream Shake family, and hopefully watch the Rockets win. And that same day is the trade deadline. So, Mike, after the show, we need to talk about full trade deadline plans, because we're going to definitely cook up something. One of my favorite shows that we've ever done was that trade deadline show a year ago. That was a whole lot of fun. We're definitely going to do something for it. So keep on the lookout. Follow us on Twitter at the Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN for all things about the Dream Shake, the Dream Take, our shows coming up, and TDS Night on February 10th. Be sure to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW Podcast _MB.
And you can follow me at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!